Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are listening to Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
Hey, what's going on? It's Metal Shop's Backstage Pass. I've known these guys for 11 years now, something like that. One of the first bands I interviewed back in like 2010, back
really?
In like Hell's Kitchen days.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
I don't know.
Hell's Kitchen?
Yeah, the old Hell's Kitchen. I don't know. Ooh. I just seem to remember you guys being one of the first bands we really interviewed when we started doing Metal Shop. So anyways, without That's any awesome. Further ado, it's No Living Witness back on Metal Shop. How you guys doing?
Hey.
So good.
Great.
Where are you guys right now?
We're in Olympia at my office, my okay. home.
And this is where you do your graphic design work?
Yeah, I just do it for us. I don't do it for anybody else anymore, really.
Oh, I thought that was your career, your job.
Nope, I'm a full-time beer man.
Oh, wow. A beer man and a beard man, I see. Yes. So, see what I did there? Okay, so anyways, before we go any further, reintroduce yourself. Tell us your name and what you do in No Living Witness.
I'm LJ, and I do vocals.
And I'm Sam, and I write the music and handle all the production of everything.
Nice. So do you pretty much do everything aside from the vocals? You play the guitar, play the bass, drums, all that stuff, or do you outsource that to other studio musicians?
I do everything. The drums, I program. I don't play them. I'm not that good.
Yeah.
But I'm okay at everything else, and that's fine with me.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So, I guess I'm curious. You said you're a beer man. So, but you're drinking Truly. Like, isn't that like going against your beer ways?
These guys are responsible for like half my paycheck this year. So, So I'm a sales rep for a beer company. So
okay.
I sell beer and soda and energy drinks and stuff like that.
LJ, what have you been up to, man? What do you do aside from screaming obscenities into a microphone?
I find myself by various meditation substances and working in retail. So
okay.
It's a perfect storm of finding and losing myself at the same time.
Fair enough.
What I've been doing for 10 years. So that is my life. That's why I scream.
So we're going to be talking about a new song you guys just released called Sailing on a Cardboard Sea. And this song, I'm curious, it kind of starts off a little bit more black metal-ish than I remember you guys ever really delving into. Is that a sound that was specific for this song, or am I totally wrong there? Just that, to my ear, at least.
I think a lot of the black metal sound comes from LJ's vocals.
Mm.
His highs are so like shrill and like gut wrenching, like mm-hmm. just really scary.
Mm.
And I feel like as far as the music goes, this is the least like black and death we've ever written.
Oh, okay.
I feel it's a little bit more prog than anything else.
Fair enough.
But not in like an experimental way, but there's a lot of changes and, we tried not to stick with like one genre.
Yeah.
And we kind of wanted to go like all,
well, it's more if we wanted to play what we wanted to hear. Like we like death metal, we like black metal, like mm-hmm. black and death metal and tech death. And like, we just wanted something that would flow nice. And Sam did a really good job of all the symphonic stuff and like bridging the gap between all the stuff that we like to listen to.
Yeah, it wasn't like I sat down and I was like, okay, I have to write this black metal part. It's just like kind of focused on the flow and the feel.
Yeah.
How your heart and your brain felt when you listened to it, rather than be like, oh yeah, he's playing this. It's like, oh, this just feels good.
More organic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. So I kind of want to, so as far as the kind of reintroduction of the band, I was curious. So you guys were a band and you guys had, put out some releases and you guys had a live band that you guys recorded with and everything. Take some time off from what I understand. Mm-hmm. Did you guys officially break up?
I think it was more of a semi-permanent hiatus.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had issues finding a drummer a stick. It's like the hardest piece to find. And like some others of the band didn't want to wait, which is understandable. And kind of went off to do other things and pursue other interests in life. And like Kyle, he was our last bass player.
Yep.
Went off in Aetherius and just killing it in some other bands.
So proud of that guy.
Yeah.
So proud of
him. But it's like, we just kind of started living life and
I also missed had two music. Kids.
Yeah.
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 And now they're old enough where I can finally come up here and write music. I'm not constantly watching over them, making sure they're not actively dying.
What was the, what was kind of the impetus about coming back to, coming back to the table and like realizing that you guys still want to do No Living Witness and like kind of embarking on the journey of doing it as a team?
Well, I mean, we still hang out all the time.
Okay.
Even if we weren't as No Living Witness.
Yeah.
Every Friday we would drink beers and watch movies.
Yeah.
I Regret Ernest still.
Yeah, I knew you were going to bring that up. Yeah. Ernest Goes to Camp.
God, that was terrible.
But it was a good time.
It was. But we always talk about the glory days of, playing in bands. And
yeah.
I swear about every 3 weeks I have a dream where we're playing a show and we realize that nobody practiced and we're like, oh, we haven't practiced anything in 10 years.
That's the classic go into high school in your underwear kind of.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
And we didn't study for the tests.
Yeah.
And here we are naked and stupid.
Yep. Yep.
Only well, that's still the same, but we're clothed. But it was just like, we should start doing stuff again. And we released Holocaust last 2019, which is all material from when we used to play live when we were very active.
Yeah.
We had all this music written. And we're like, we can't just let it rot in our brain. Like, let's record it. And that way we can have it out there. And then we did. And we're like, that felt good.
Yeah. That album, the songs were from like, we played Cascadia. And then like throughout that time, like Sam was writing more songs just here and there, just building material. And like, I honestly didn't know if we were ever going to do anything again. Cause it was just, we both had our own things going on, but
yeah,
like, yeah. Then we were like, let's just do it for real this time. Not just finishing the old stuff, but let's just make what we want to play.
Yeah. And now we're got this album coming out next month and we're happy with it. And we're ready to play shows again as soon as we can find some live members to play for us.
So maybe there's any drummers out there.
Yes,
exactly. So this could be kind of a want ad via the internet,
please.
Via KISW. So if you like what you hear, then maybe you can apply for the position, drummer and bassist or what instrument would you like to play live most, Sam? Would you prefer guitar?
Oh, guitar.
Okay. So you want to be the ukulele guy in the back. Okay.
Cool. I mean, I'll do that if I have to, but prefer guitar.
Do you like playing with two guitar or do you like just having one guitar?
Two guitar. We did one guitar thing for a very long time before we met you guys and we're doing our thing. But it's just like, for harmonies are a lot of fun and guitar solos, it's kind of empty without that backing, backing mean mugging.
Would you be okay with three guitars?
Ooh.
Or four?
Oh,
maybe
and
four.
Two bassists.
Yes. Yeah. Let's just go Slipknot and just wreck everything.
Triangle player, DJ, sampler.
Are you applying?
No.
Okay.
I'm the backup dancer.
We'll take it.
Exactly. Cool.
Mighty Mighty Boss Tones had one. Now you guys can.
oh, God.
So you mentioned that you have an album. So we have the single, but you guys, so the album is how many songs is it? And, we'll talk a little bit about it.
Seven.
There's cool. Like one little in between track that always makes me forget how many there actually is, but
yeah,
it all flows like one song, honestly, like the single that we just released. It's like, where do we cut it off to start it and end it? You know,
that single is, that's like part two of three songs. I wanted to call it a concept album, but obviously his lyrics don't really tell the correct story of it being a concept.
It kind of ended up being that on accident, because I had all this lyrically, it's all the same. Like, it's basically my journey through an existential crisis.
Okay.
What we're all doing here and what's going on in current events. And it just, it's like, I just wrote out basically one giant piece and that's what the album is.
But with references to Star Trek.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I pulled some Star Trek references here.
I don't think there isn't a song for No Living Menace that doesn't involve Star Trek in some form. Maybe The Offering doesn't, but
yeah.
I've heard of Star Wars metal bands. You guys are a Star Trek metal band. I like it.
I'll take it.
So was the album recorded primarily during the pandemic?
Yes. We started recording it. Oh, not 2000. Oh, I guess we started recording April of last year. So I started recording guitars in April and then finished getting everything ready in about September. And then we worked on vocals, and I think we finished vocals in like February or something like that.
Yeah. January, February, somewhere around there.
And then we sent it over to our buddy Ken, from Abigail Williams. Mm-hmm. And he mastered it, co-mixed it, beefed up the guitars, made the drums sound just great. And he went above and beyond what I expected anyone would do for us. Just cause he wants his product to sound good.
Absolutely.
So, you know, we sent it to him and he was like, yeah, sounds good. I'll do this. And he's like, dude, let me do this too. Send me these and send me these tracks. Send me these tracks dry. I'm going to make this sound really good. And it's just, it sounds better than I could have ever imagined. I really wish we had mastered our last album, but I can't go back in time.
Remaster in the future.
Yeah. I'm kind of working on that.
Sweet. Surprise. Happy birthday.
Cool. So, is this something that you guys are just releasing out there yourselves, or do you team it up with a label, or possibly are you going to shop it to a label, or you just want to do it yourselves?
Well, we initially were just like, let's just do it. And then like in the process, we're like, why don't we just start reaching out? Cause we really liked what we were doing. And we're like, we just want everybody to hear it.
Yeah.
And just two dudes, it's tough to build a reach over social media and like through all the saturated market, because everybody is all over everything right now. Mm-hmm. But so we started reaching out to labels and reviewers and e-zines and paper zines and all that stuff. So,
and this dude is a really good writer. So he makes us sound incredibly professional.
Nice.
And we had a couple things that were looking good, but we had already set a date. So for this album, it's just the two of us.
Hey, you know what's beautiful about that is that everyone has, aside from, you know, physical distribution and money for advertising, aside from those things, everyone's on the same playing field now with the internet. So you have just as much power to get out up in the algorithm of streaming as anyone else. Mm-hmm. And you know, just might as well just put it out yourselves. And then, you know, if people like it, then, you know, we'll see from there, but, and they will, because based on what I'm hearing, it's friggin' awesome. Yeah, you're welcome. So I've talked to a few bands during this time. I've talked to quite a few bands during this time, and a lot of them have recorded during the pandemic. And typically I ask like what problems kind of that has brought upon you, what kind of difficulties has the pandemic brought upon recording, but being that it's two people, I would assume, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I would assume it didn't really put any kink in the plans, as you're just two guys, or am I wrong?
For me, there was one kink: getting new guitar strings. So as in my industry, there is a huge aluminum shortage. There has been for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm guessing there's some sort of aluminum metal involved in string making, and the strings that I like to use, I tried a different few and these are the only ones I wanted to do. And it took almost a month and a half to get a new set of strings. So I bought like 10, That was the only hiccup for me. I don't know about you.
The only hiccups I had was from drinking. That's about it.
So
no effects, no effects for me. And we just recorded from our own houses. And
yeah. He recorded the vocals at his house, even though he lives like 3 miles away.
Yeah.
But it's just,
I like my space.
Yeah.
And you in the zone,
we both have our schedules and it's really hard to match up. And so I sent him the songs and a metronome and I was like, hey, do something. And he's like, okay, I'll give it back to you in a little while. And he got it back and I was like, this is incredible.
That's
like
awesome.
Gave me chills. He did more than he's ever done before. Not that you did little before, but you did good before. The bar has been raised. So good luck on the next EP, dummy.
Yeah. We'll see what happens.
So Sam, do you have a lot of experience with recording and stuff like that?
Yeah. Before I got a real jobby job, like all I did was the graphic design and I did, studio work. So I used to record bands like Lenore, Paramorta, a bunch of random bands. I did mixing for some people and, not that it was a career, but, a semi-professional amateur hobby.
Yeah. But you at least have the experience and the equipment for it.
So. Yeah.
Cool.
And I was pretty excited because when I sent the tracks over to Sorceron for him to mix, and he's like, these are like legitimately good. And there are people that work in studios that the mix is not really that good. So good job. And I'm like,
nice.
Beat still. Yeah. That felt nice.
Good. I bet, man. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. So I got to ask you guys, this is a, I guess just humor me here. So, it's not hard to imagine a day that during the pandemic, right? You have a lot of negative things going on, whether you're watching the news, everyone getting sick, a lot of really bad days, right? Mm-hmm. What's an album that, you can go to on a crappy day, whether it be a heavy or a soft album, whatever, any kind of music that'll just get you in a good place. When you've had like a crap day, something that you can go back to.
Well, for me, it's easily Infant Annihilator. I know people give them flack for like how crazy it sounds and how like synthetic it sounds. It's their thing. And it's like, you put that on and it's like, all right. Had a horrible day. Everything sucks, but this is how I feel. And it's like relating to this intense heaviness. And now it's like the new Mental Cruelty. Like that. Oh, just,
my God.
Like mind blown. Like that's what I go to almost every morning going to work. It's a way to start the day.
With Infant Annihilator, I find it funny that people give them crap because I don't think they ever, it's not like they're Rings of Saturn pretending that they're like, you know, actually creating this stuff, you know, like I think that their whole thing is like going above like Terminator death metal, you know, it's just straight up insane. Well, but
Terminator death metal. That's
awesome. It's not like they're an organic band creating this stuff like as a live band. It's obviously computer triggered and everything. But
do they not tour or play live shows?
Are they not? I don't know.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's super synthetic, but who cares? It's awesome.
Yeah. I don't care. It's heavy.
Sam, what about you? About.
Man.
Besides Steve Winwood.
Damn it, dude. That was seriously going to be my answer.
Hey, that's cool. That'll bring you back,
dude. That song just gets me in a good mood.
Yeah.
The latest EP that Infury released.
Mm, yeah. On Artisan Era. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. It's just so good. Like Infury is probably my favorite band right now. So this just so melodic and heavy and fast and good and just really, really talented individuals and incredibly nice individuals too.
Yeah.
So but anything that they do that puts me in a pretty good spot, or the Vervum record.
Vervum.
Oh,
I haven't delved into that enough. I gotta do the Vervum.
We saw each other at a Vervum concert. No, it was the Tech Across the West tour with Arcspire.
Yep. We did.
Yeah. Vervum played.
They did.
Oh, yeah.
Catch them.
They're from like Switzerland. The guitarist is bald and tall, about 7 feet tall.
Whoa.
Just a monster.
I don't like bald people.
Yeah. I don't like them either. Gross.
Anyone listening and not watching, I'm bald. Just
and I'm kidding.
Yes. Okay. So, with you know, that being, you know, the pandemic and all kinds of negativity we could put out there, here's a posy question. What is one positive thing that has happened to you over the last year, aside from, you know, making the album? One thing that you're really happy about?
I am probably one of the happiest, go luckiest guys. So like I'm nothing but positive pretty much all the time.
Okay.
I can't pinpoint a certain thing. I got a really great vacuum last year.
Nice.
It has an LED light in the front so you can see all the dirt.
It when definitely it picks it up. Sucks.
It does suck. Seriously, that was a pretty cool thing that happened last year. Like my life is good.
That's pretty sweet.
It's not possible for me to complain about anything.
LJ, anything positive about?
Oh, I mean,
that's a weird
thing. I'm the pessimist of the world.
Oh,
right
God,
here.
Yes. Did your roommates moved out?
There is pleasant. That is good. I have a place to myself. I had a roommate, and now I got my own studio room now. So that's there pretty cool.
Go. Nice. Okay. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. And I found, I don't know, I did a lot of soul searching throughout the past year. And
like you said, had an existential crisis.
Yeah. And I've come to terms with a lot of things.
Mushrooms in a beach in Oregon will help that too.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, like seriously, sometimes you hit a rock in a low spot, even if you're not even that bad of a place, it's like mentally, you're like, what's going on? What do I want out of this? And I found comfort in myself, and that's one of the best things you could find, really.
That's great, man. It's kind of great that, I mean, I'm not going to say it's great that the pandemic happened because it was fucking horrible, but it's nice that you can find the silver linings and things and give yourself the time to have that space for your mind and maybe give yourself some space to, you know, learn things about yourself.
Oh yeah,
that's fair. Yeah, definitely.
So what is the best way to support you guys? What's the best way to get the album? Is there a way to, pre-save, pre-order? Are you guys going to have physical copies of the album or is it going to be just digital?
No physical copies. It's just a little too expensive for us too.
Fair enough.
But the best two things that you can do is, you know, follow us on the Spotify and then, we have a Bandcamp as well.
Yeah.
Bandcamp is awesome.
Yes, they are.
They really take very little percentage from every sale. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you know about Bandcamp Friday. They haven't done it in a couple months. But for those who don't know, it used to be every first or second Friday of the month.
Yep, during the pandemic, all of the money went toward the artists, and I actually had a couple of the staff from Bandcamp on the show a few months back.
Yeah,
a couple months back, we just kind of went into, you know, kind of their ethics behind that and their plans for the future and how, you know, specifically how much money had is earned bands during the pandemic. So. Wow. If anyone wants to know more about that, they can go back in the feed and check that out.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bandcamp is the number one way that, you know, we make money to making ads so people can be aware of our music. We do.
Yeah,
what?
Bandcamp is a little bit better than a heartless tech app, you know?
Yes. And so we have, you know, shirts that are on sale. And then we also, there is a pre-order or a pre-release, whatever, for the album that comes out in the second. So if you buy our album right now, you actually get the single Sailing on a Cardboard Sea available right away.
Cool. Yeah. And so what's the release day again? It's July 2nd? Mm-hmm. July 2nd. And what's the full length called again?
Cosmic Simulacra.
Ooh.
Say it again.
Cosmic Simulacra.
Simu?
I've had a beer. Simulacra. Simulation.
Okay. I've been making sure it's pronouncing it. Yeah. It's Cosmic Simulacra.
Yes.
That's okay.
That is perfect.
Okay. Thank you.
It's all a construct anyway.
Oh, so. That's true.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. And if you, you know, want to play bass or drums in the band that you hear, hit them up.
Yeah,
The Living Witness. What's the best way to hit you guys up? Facebook, Instagram, anything like that?
Facebook and Instagram are very easy.
Okay.
Let them know. This is some good stuff, man. And again, Cosmic Simulacra coming out July 2nd. You can pre-order the album and get this single, the one that you're about to hear. So guys, any final words for the Northwest Metal Shop audience before I let you go?
We miss you guys.
Miss you too. Yes,
most definitely.
Yeah.
Can't wait to see your shows.
We'll have to do this in person, have you guys up to the studio once, you know, people can do that again.
Just as long as I can get on that roof again, that's all I care about.
We moved. We're a different station. Yeah, we're downtown now. Where there's no, it's a really badass station, but there is no roof like that.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
But there's a garden.
Okay. Wicked garden. Got it.
Exactly.
Green thumb right here.
Wicked garden. All right, guys. No Living Witness. Olympia. Tech Death. Would you? Is that okay? Can I call you guys Tech Death? Is that all right?
I love that people refer to us as that.
Sure.
We don't, but I'm
symphonic epic blackened.
How about just
whatever
metal band? No Living Witness. Yes. Olympia metal band. New song Sailing on a Cardboard Sea here on Metal Shop's Backstage Pass. Turn it up and support local metal.
We'll be right back.
Ben, Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.